Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about Christ-centered fatherhood during this hour of Issues Etc. Pastor David Chatty is our guest. Really, you could talk about a Christ-centered motherhood or having a Christ-centered family. All of it begins right here, because we have God as our Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we can rightly call God our Father. Then we always have to talk about fatherhood in terms of what God our Father does. And what does He do first and foremost? God our Father sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God our Father forgives us because of the sacrifice made by His Son. That's where fatherhood begins, in the forgiveness of God our Father through Jesus Christ. We're going to extend that conversation with you, your phone calls and your email during this hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers will receive a 7-hour tape series that we did with Pastor Chatty on the gospel and the Christian family. 1-800-730-2727. We will let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment, or feel free to post questions or comments on our forum at our website, issuesetc.org. The forum is under the What's New section. Pastor David Chatty is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He and a fellow pastor conduct nationwide seminars on the gospel and the Christian family. Pastor Chatty, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-730-2727. We'll begin with Gene, who listens in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, on XM Radio. Gene, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I'd like to, you know, make a statement as to, well, I come from a dysfunctional family, whereas Christ was not part of the church, was not part of our home. And if it wasn't for some people in the local church who got me interested, you know, I would have ended up just in a world of sin, of being a typical smoker and a person who consumes alcohol. And I've been teaching my son, who's going to be 15, the values that were instilled in me. And I've been in a conflict with my ex-wife as to which religion we should teach him. And I tried to let her know, I think that'd be a position that Jamie, our son, should take as to what he feels comfortable with.
Gene, thank you for the call. Let's see what Pastor Chatty has to say. We do have to address the issue which Gene raises, and that is that many people come from families wherein fatherhood was hardly modeled as something to be either admired or emulated. Pastor Chatty.
That's absolutely true, and I commend him for his desire to have a better life for his son than he had. I think that's, in almost every instance that I know of, all fathers would like for their children's upbringing to be something, you know, one notch up from what they had, even if they had a good one. And, you know, I commend him very much. It, as far as the issue of his son and you know, religious preferences and choices and so forth and so on, you know, I would encourage Eugene to be the wonderful Christian father that you desire to be to your son, to instill in him the values that come from the cross of your Savior Jesus Christ, to show him the love of Christ, to lead him in God's Word as our Heavenly Father leads us. You know, that child has been entrusted into your care for whatever time and opportunity you have with him. Make the most of that opportunity, and as I'm sure you're trying to do, to be a blessing and to, you know, always to recognize that, yes, you know, our children need to learn the values and the morals and so forth that are ours, but that comes from our understanding of who God is and what God has done for us. That the major understanding that we have about our relationship with God is that despite the fact that we act as dysfunctional children toward our Heavenly Father. He continues to forgive us, continues to renew us, continues to teach us, and in teaching us to equip us to live our lives. Pass those wonderful values on to your son with every opportunity that you have. He is at an incredibly impressionable age, in an age when he really needs, you know, it's a time when young people begin to sort of, you know, test the waters to see whether or not, you know, their independence is really what they think it is, and trying to establish themselves in adulthood and so forth. And, you know, it's a time when young people make a whole lot of mistakes, and we hope learn from those mistakes. This is a time when your son very much needs you to continue to affirm him as God our Heavenly Father affirms us in the forgiveness and the love he shows for us, and then to grant him the grace that God has granted you by reminding him of the gospel and by showing him Jesus Christ by your love for him and all the things that entails.
Tim is listening in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Tim, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi there. I just had a question about a verse in the Bible in chapter 7 of Matthew. And, like, could you comment on it? What man is there of you? It's chapter 7, verse 9 through 11. What man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father give you good gifts?
Thank you very much, Tim. It's a good question. Pastor Shaddy, this is an excellent passage to talk about the connection between God as Father and Christian fatherhood.
It sure is, because it is pointing out the greater of the fathers, and that's our Heavenly Father. That, you know, fathers have within them this desire to do good things for their kids. Now, whether or not they actually do it is another situation. But there is in our hearts a desire to be a good dad. In many cases, we are incapable of being that, and in many cases, we just don't, because we're sinners, and we find ourselves in circumstances all the time where we're apologizing for the things that we do. But this is a wonderful passage in pointing out that God, our Heavenly Father, has wonderful hopes and dreams for us. He has wonderful aspirations for us, and he grants us abundant blessings that come from his desire and his love for us, and has also instilled in us a desire for good things for our children, and that we ought to look at his desires and his hopes and his priorities and make them our own in terms of the way we love our children. You know, our hopes, dreams, and aspirations compared to God are very meager, just as our ability to follow through on those things is very meager compared to that of our Heavenly Father. But what we have the privilege of doing is to recognize the incredible gift of grace that comes to us from our Heavenly Father, and in whatever way we possibly can, to rejoice in those mercies by simply passing them on to these wonderful people that God has entrusted into our care.
1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Mark is calling from Kansas City. Mark, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. Hi there. My question is, what can a father do who is separated from his children by divorce, whose mother, the mother of the children does not encourage the relationship between the father and the children? Do you have any advice on that? I've tried to do some Bible studies with the kids at long distance, but it just seems to wane every time. So is there any advice there?
Mark, that's a good, tremendous question, and I certainly hope that we can get some good advice for you. Stay on the line as well so that we can send you a copy of that 7-part tape series with Pastor Shaddy on the gospel and the Christian family, which you may also find helpful as well. Pastor Shaddy, this is a painful, painful circumstance to find oneself in.
Yeah, my heart goes out to him. Be diligent in your desire to give good gifts to your children, and the greatest gift of all being the grace of God. That, you know, the time that you have to spend is spent being an encouragement and showing them the love of Christ, and recognizing that time and those opportunities are very limited, and that you know, these things are not being reinforced from mom is no doubt a heartache. And yet at the same time, to make the most of the opportunities that you have to, you know, if you are in communication with your children, for example, with email, every kid in the world knows how to do email, that possibly you find some things that are very meaningful to you in terms of devotions or hymns or Bible passages or whatever the case may be, and just to send your kids maybe a short note weekly, or if you have the desire daily, with some frequency anyway, to just send them a little note attaching something that has been a blessing to you and say, I hope that this is a blessing from your, you know, this has been a blessing from my Heavenly Father to me, and I hope that it's a blessing from your dad to you.
Pastor David Shaddy is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He and a fellow pastor conduct seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. We're talking about Christ-centered, cross-focused fatherhood here on Issues Etc. on this Father's Day. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls at 1-800-730-2727. And we also will be we'll also be taking your email as well on our Issues Etc. forum there at our website, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section. We do have some open phone lines to take your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727. Continue to like to hear from the dads as well as anyone else who'd like to talk about Christ-centered fatherhood, 1-800-730-2727.
Grace, faith, scripture. And Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor David Shaddy about Christ-centered fatherhood. You folks listening to us live on the internet, here's your chance to get in, to get our 7-hour tape series on the gospel and the Christian family, something that you would may not have been able to hear, something we did locally with Pastor Shaddy. And it's an excellent resource. If you take the conversation that we're having now on Christ-centered fatherhood and expand it out to talk about motherhood, being parents, husbands and wives, children and parents, it covers the entire gamut of the Christian family and what it means to be a truly Christ-centered family, that is, a family that is centered on the cross of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he won for us there by his death and resurrection. 1-800-730-2727. Best callers will get that 7-part tape series, and we'll let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment. 1-800-730-2727. Howard is up next. He calls from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Howard, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, I am a father of a 16-year-old girl, but I haven't been a dad. She was adopted out due to my past of drugs and alcohol, but I've since then cleaned up, and I am now engaged to a wonderful woman who has 3 children, ranging in ages from 3 until 8. I am an interstate truck driver. I go all over the country. But it is my hope and desire that by the time that we get married next year, that I quit over the road and find something more local so I can be a part of these children's lives. Every time I go home, they think it's Sunday because I take them to church with me, and they have fallen in love with going to the church that I go to.
Howard, thank you very much. Pastor Shaddy, again, another story of how complex it can be, especially in the light of divorce or adoption and things like that, this thing called fatherhood. Your thoughts?
Well, I commend him for his desire to be there for these kids and to show this wonderful Christ-centered love. You have hopes and dreams and desires and wishes for your children, and those are lived out in the opportunities that you have with those kids as they're growing up to be a positive blessing to them. Now, you know, there are a lot of people who spend a lot of time on the road and have to find ways to communicate to their children and to be a blessing to their children while they're gone and to make the most of the opportunities when they're home. As we had with one of the previous callers, I think that, there's a lot of wonderful means of communication available to us when we're not at home. I'll be honest, when my children were very small, I really didn't go away that often to pastor's conference or something like that, but I wasn't gone for any significant length of time. And yet, I'd call home, and each of the kids would get on and, hi, Dad, how you doing, and try to be an encouragement to them. And so I would encourage Howard in that way, while he's in the situation that he's in. And yet I applaud his desire to see if there are some circumstances whereby he could be a far greater presence for these kids in the years to come. The 16-year-old is in, as we said, an incredible time of life, a time when male acceptance and love is very important and needs to be received from Dad. If they don't get it from Dad, they very often go looking somewhere else, and that's when the nervous time begins. So very important that he continue to show the love of Christ and to affirm her. And yet these other children are at such an age that there's really wonderful opportunities there to begin to form habits in terms of their devotion life and in terms of their worship life that will carry over into their adulthood. And the more that these children can see how important the Word of God and the grace of God especially is to him, the more important it will be for them. So I commend him for his efforts and encourage him in whatever way he can to be the blessing he desires to be.
Well, Pastor Shaddy, I'll tell you how it was for me. Growing up in a family of five boys, mom and dad, stable family, no divorce there. And on Sunday morning, it was, this is one of those kind of things, rather than leaping out of bed with twinkling eyes to go to church with dad and mom, it was often dad simply coming back early Sunday morning and saying, get up, and making sure we got up when we didn't want to get up on Sunday morning, making sure we were dressed in the car and in church on Sunday morning. However, and that was not always the most pleasant thing, the time before going to church, as many people know, was not always the most pleasant few hours, but looking back upon it and realizing the great benefit that was derived from being in church with my entire family, wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, we all have experiences where at some point you have to say, hey, I'm in charge here and this is how it's going to be. And later on then you reflect on that and you say, yeah, that was the way it was supposed to be. But at the time you bristle against it. All kids are that way. I remember as a kid, mom calling to us from the breakfast table, boys, get up, because it was time for church or whatever. And yeah, and we'd turn back over and she'd again, that little sing-songy voice, and yeah. And my dad would come down the hall and he wouldn't yell or scream, he'd just say, get up. And I mean, we shot out of that bed. Now, what was my father completely motivating us by the gospel? No, but we weren't responding to it either. There are proper times for us as parents to apply the law. And when our children are not paying attention, particularly to their mother, it's a good time for dad to step in and say, hey, boys, this is the love of my life, and this isn't gonna work. We're just not going to go there. So, there is that aspect of fatherhood. We do make use of the law in our fatherhood, and that turns out to be a very positive thing for our kids as long as they understand that the application of the law always leads to the application of the gospel.
With only a minute here, and then when we come back from this break, we're going to get to some of our listeners' email as well from our forum. Pastor Shaddy, I heard an argument made, and it's very vaguely placed in my memory, but I'll do the best I can to reiterate it to you. An argument made that, you know, there was some wisdom to the old kind of cliched situation in which mom is doing her best with the kids at home, dad's at work, and the mom would eventually reach the point where she'd say, well, look, wait until your father gets home. Where the father was vested with the primary responsibility of doing the discipline, not necessarily corporal discipline in every case, but the discipline for children, and that was primarily his responsibility. What are your thoughts on that with about a minute and a half before our break?
Unless we as fathers abdicate that accountability and responsibility in the eyes of our children will assume we have it. There is something built into us that says, Dad is the guy we don't mess with. Because dads react to their children in a far different way. Kids tend to negotiate with their moms because their moms have, in most cases, a little more of a tender heart, and they always are wanting to explain their reasons for doing things and so forth, and they don't want their children's feelings to be hurt and so forth and so on. Dads have a tendency at times to say, hey, look, God put me in charge. I'm going to be in charge. If you don't like it, lump it. That aspect of it does exist. My wife said to our kids, you know, Sherry sat in the pew by herself for all these years in the ministry. And, you know, she said to our kids, when we get home, you're going to get it from Dad. You're in trouble because you didn't mind. And having the words, this is coming from Dad, had far more clout with our kids than her just saying, do this or do that. That is a natural tendency of children with their parents, and dads have to lovingly live up to that. You know, I'm not in any way, shape, or form advocating that we be unkind or tyrannical or anything to our kids, but they will expect the buck to stop there.
Pastor David Shaddy is our guest. We're talking about Christ-centered fatherhood. The entire Old Testament points forward to one thing: Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sinners. The Old Testament is really about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Is this true even of the Old Testament book of laws called Leviticus? Yes, it is. Find out how in our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Leviticus. If you'd like information on the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, visit our Issues, Etc. website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Or order this commentary from Concordia Publishing House by calling them toll-free, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When you call, mention Issues, Etc. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Leviticus.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Pastor Paul McCain, Interim President and CEO of Concordia Publishing House, based here in St. Louis. Paul, what's the current state of publishing, and Christian publishing in particular?
Well, with the economy the way it is, all publishing has been impacted by the downturn. And as I read the trade journals, it's interesting to note that many publishers are trying to identify ways to keep their prices down, even as their costs are increasing. The publishing industry is completely consumer-driven. You just have to walk into any large mega store like Barnes & Noble's, Borders, those types of stores to notice that. The Christian publishing industry faces very unique challenges. It's a large industry. A number of the largest publishers are publicly traded companies like Thomas Nelson. They do millions and millions and millions of dollars a year in business. I just recently read an interesting article in Publishers Weekly, which is kind of the trade Bible for the whole industry. And in the religion section, they point out that Christian publishers are most interested in meeting consumer demands for self-help books of all kinds. They say people would rather go to a bookstore than talk to their pastor, rabbi, or imam. And that's a big challenge.
So how is Concordia Publishing House different in the field of Christian publishing?
Concordia Publishing House exists to serve the publishing needs of our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we believe that as we do, the best job we can possibly do in getting out materials that are faithful to the witness of the Lutheran Reformation, that we're not only serving our church, but also all Christians who find very appealing the message of Martin Luther, the great breakthrough of the gospel in the 16th century. The Lutheran Reformation is the oldest continuing evangelical movement in the history of the church, and it continues to this day, and we're very humbled by the opportunity we have at Concordia Publishing House to be what we believe to be the preeminent voice for the Lutheran Reformation in publishing in the English language. And all our materials strive to be faithful to God's Word and to our Lutheran confessions to get out clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ. We emphasize the teaching of the faith, how important it is to train people, to educate them, to inform them in the basics of Christianity. And all our materials, from Sunday school to academic books, strive to do that.
That's Pastor Paul McCain, Interim President and CEO of Concordia Publishing House, based here in St. Louis. If you'd like a free catalog from Concordia Publishing House, call them at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit them on the web at www.cph.org. www.cph.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the secularization of the church with Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. How has the culture had its influence in the Christian church in the 21st century? It's all over the place. How so, and how has the church influenced the culture? We'll talk about that next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Lawrence White. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing throughout the summer on the program, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, you can read several resources on fatherhood written by our guest in this hour, Pastor David Chatty, issuesetc.org. Look for those resources there at the website. Pastor David Chatty is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He is also, along with a fellow pastor, conducting seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be getting to some email here in just a second. That's always posted on our forum. The forum is always open for your questions and your comments. There at the website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You will find the forum there. A listener in Sweden, Maria, writes this. How should a Christian mother clearly teach her children about God, the God-given roles to men and women, to fathers and mothers, when her husband, their father, is not a Christian? Even if she teaches that what God's Word says in general about this issue without mentioning him, they apply all such teaching immediately to their own father and see that he is not living a God-pleasing life and is not the spiritual leader of the family as he ought to be. How should the mother speak respectfully about her husband and teach her children to highly respect their father and at the same time teach them that this is the way, that this way he is living his life, a life that where there is no place for God, is wrong and will be punished, and that they should not look at the example he is giving them? It's an excellent question, Maria. Pastor Chatty.
It's an outstanding question, and one that I am sorry to say is faced by far too many women in our circumstances in this country and certainly in around the world. The promise keepers have clearly identified a significant problem, and that is the abdication of fathers of their responsibilities in this area. And it couldn't be more pronounced than in circumstances where the father is an unbeliever. My encouragement to her is to positively teach them about God. They will draw their conclusions as far as their own father is concerned. The contrast will be inevitable and obvious. But make it a very encouraging thing in terms of their relationship to God, because that ultimately is the most important thing. It is important that they have a positive relationship with their father, and I pray that in other areas of life they do. But I would encourage her to just continually show them God through the glasses of the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. The contrasts are inevitable. They will be obvious. And, you know, you never know how God will work. It may be that through her encouragement of her children and not her constant saying to the husband, you should be doing this, or you should, but her encouragement of her children, that very possibly through her witness or through their witness, they may make a difference in Dad's life. If not, the gospel will impact those children because it is the power of God unto salvation.
And I would add to that, I think it's excellent advice you've given there, Pastor Shaddy. I would add to that, as I'm sure you would, that Maria ought to both continue to pray for her husband and encourage her children to pray for their father in this respect, because they are going to see it. You're absolutely right. They're going to see the contrast between what ought to be and what isn't, and that they go to their heavenly father through Jesus Christ on behalf of their father and their husband.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the popular men's movement, Promise Keepers. It's a bit on the wane of late. Where did this movement fall short?
Their diagnosis of the problem was dead on. It was absolutely correct. They looked at a trend in our society that said husbands and fathers are just abdicating their God-given responsibilities as husbands and fathers in terms of leading their children in God's Word and so forth and so on. Where they fell short, to be very honest, is that the prescription that they had, their solution to the problem, was to say to dads, well, this is how you should be. And then, you know, the speaker after speaker after speaker would say, you know, you should do this and you should do, and it was all great stuff. It really was. I mean, very things that fathers ought to be doing. The problem was why. And the why was, this is what God expects of you. Now, one of two things is going to happen to those men as time goes along. Either they're going to look at their circumstances where they see that they have improved their fatherhood in this area or that area and say, you know, this is what God has expected of me. This is what I've done, and a little bit of self-righteousness creeps into the thing. You know, look at me, I'm Joe Christian, and so forth and so on. That's one possible problem that will come from motivating by the law. The other one is that at some point, Dad walks into the pastor's office and says, I can't do this anymore. This is too heavy a load to carry. So, you know, I fear that because the motivation was entirely law. The difference between that discussion and our discussion is not what, but why. And the why in our discussion is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and the love that comes from Him, and the love that, having come from Him, empowers us to show that love to our wife and to our children, and to make ours a reflection of the gospel relationship we have with God, instead of simply trying to carry our responsibilities around.
That neatly brings us to a comment also made on our Issues Etc. forum, this time by Mark in Texas. He writes, what would you say to those of us who feel incapable of living out the role of the Christian father? I know that we are forgiven, but that forgiveness does not always seem to strengthen my efforts as a father of small children. I see the power that the culture exerts on them, and I worry that I will not be able to protect them from it. I do not wish to downplay the means of grace. That I think that refers here to baptism, the Lord's Supper, the preaching of God's Word, as the source of strengthening faith. But it seems a great deal of wisdom is needed, too. How do we obtain that? Your answer to Mark's question.
Probably the greatest challenge that we face in terms of our own parenthood, and especially we fathers having the responsibilities that we have, is our ability to properly apply the law and the gospel when they are called for. You know, we we learn in church that, you know, we apply the law when there's unrepentance, we apply the gospel when there's repentance, and that sounds very simple. It's not always as simple as it sounds, because our personalities are involved, our emotions are involved. You know, I think most of us as fathers feel a failure in terms of our relationship with our kids very often when we have misapplied this, when we have when we can't seem to get these kids to mind, and, you know, very often have to go to more forceful measures, you know, and again, I'm not talking about spankings or things like that necessarily, but we have to get kind of tough with our kids, and sometimes we wonder whether or not we're being too tough with our kids. So we wonder whether or not we're applying the law too severely, and yet at other times we find ourselves applying the law to circumstances where our children are genuinely sorry, and we find that we're crushing them. I think that's a real big challenge for us as fathers. You know, coupled with the realization that we live under the cross of Christ, that, you know, Satan is going to continually tell us that we're not doing it right, and he's going to continue to tempt us to, you know, to look to other things other than the saving grace of Christ to be good dads. And, you know, I encourage our fathers to resist that. What you are giving to your kids in raising them in the teachings of God's Word and in focusing them on the gospel of Christ may not seem to be bearing fruit at the moment you're doing it, but it is the one thing needful. It is the power of God unto salvation. Hang in there. I, you know, I recognize the feelings of inadequacy because I have them too. But this is the one thing that will fill these children's lives, and we persist in our love for our kids, recognizing that tangible results, as the world understands them, are not necessarily what God is seeking.
One of the very best things that anyone ever said to me as a Christian father, I think it goes to the feelings of inadequacy that fathers feel, and they feel them sometimes most keenly on Father's Day, oddly enough. Mark expressed it there, and Pastor Shaddy, of course, responds as well. Folks, someone once said, look, God loves your children more than you do. It's hard to believe, but he really does, because he is their father in Jesus Christ. He loves them far more than you can imagine, far more than you do. And unlike you, not only does he love them more, his love has no conditions. And that means his protection of them, his promises made to them that he will keep them from all harm and danger, that he will keep them sustained in the Christian faith, all of these kind of things, all these promises that God has made, those are more certain and more sure than anything you could ever vow to do, anything that you could ever hope to do or desire to do. God not only desires and is able to, he does it. God loves us, our children, through Jesus Christ more than we love them. That's been a word of comfort that has held me in many hours of uncertainty as a father, and it's held me in many hours of confusion when I think to myself, I just am at my wit's end. I don't know what to do with my kids anymore. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm making a bad situation worse. I'm sitting there at the end of my rope. It is always of a great comfort to know that God loves our children for a very firm reason, far firmer than any reason we could love them. You know, we love them because we gave birth to them as a matter of biology. God loves them because of the death of his son, Jesus Christ. His love for them is rooted in something far more certain than anything we could produce. And in the end, we know that they are his. Being his, we know that even though he's lent them to us for a lifetime, that he takes ultimate responsibility for them. It doesn't mean we should shirk our responsibility. What it means is, in those hours when you're at your wit's end, when you run out of rope, there are times when you finally say, God, you're a better father than I will ever be. Show me what I ought to do. Keep me from doing something stupid here. But in the end, we throw ourselves on his love and his mercy for our children. Sometimes when our love and our wisdom runs out. Pastor David Shaddy is our guest. We're talking about Christ-centered fatherhood. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He and a fellow pastor conduct seminars on the gospel and the Christian family. When we come back, more of your emails, and we'll conclude our conversation with Pastor Shaddy.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, etc.
God gave his people of the Old Testament very specific rules and regulations for their worship. Does this mean anything for the Christian church today? What was the heart and center of Old Testament worship? What was the heart and center of the Old Testament faith? Find out answers to these questions in our Issues, etc. Book of the Month for June, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Leviticus. The Issues, etc. Book of the Month for June is available from Concordia Publishing House. Call them toll-free, 1-800-325-3040. Or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Leviticus. It's our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. When you order, mention Issues, Etc. Now, in the course of listening to this conversation on Christ-centered fatherhood, you might have noticed something different. First of all, it might be something you've never heard before, that the first thing about being a Christian father is recognizing your own sin and your need for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, that what it means to have a Christ-centered family, to be a Christ-centered father, is to be a cross-focused father, always bringing yourself and your children to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Something you may not have heard before. You may have heard seldom on Christian radio or from the Christian pulpit. Folks, we need your help to continue to expand the Christ-centered, cross-focused outreach of Issues, etc. Trying to bring that Christ-centered cross focus to everything we talk about. Please consider supporting us by joining our Issues, etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly donor program. You can find out how to become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer on page 12 of the latest Issues, Etc. journal, or you can go to our website, issuesetc.org. When you click on the What's New section, you'll find some information there on our Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. Now, you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a credit card donation on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can also donate by check. Simply write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can now donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll also find a way to donate to Issues, Etc. online. Pastor Shaddy, Matt in Wisconsin writes this: how does the Trinity, especially the relationship of Father and Son, inform and shape the role of Father in human families? It's a very insightful question.
Yes, it certainly is. The relationship that our Heavenly Father has with Jesus Christ is, in a sense, a little bit unique. In terms of our relationship with our kids, our Heavenly Father and our Savior are perfect. Our Heavenly Father and our Savior act as one. Our Heavenly Father sends out our Savior to be his act of love to the world. And in that sense, it's a stark contrast to our relationship with our kids. And yet, there is, you know, in so many of the words of Jesus, there is this concept of, you know, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now, that has a very real application to our relationship with our kids and to our desire to show them our Heavenly Father. You know, that is a natural consequence of our fatherhood, especially with our sons. Our sons are looking to us to see what a man is. And if we are intentionally and even admitting to the fact that we are attempting to show our Heavenly Father to our kids, then they're going to place on the relationship that we have, they're going to apply that to their relationship with God. We're going to have to point out where that fails. And yet at the same time, you know, think of the wonderful opportunity that you have to show your Heavenly Father to your kids so that someday they will show their Heavenly Father to their children. That this is a legacy of grace that is passed from generation to generation and is a reflection of these words of Christ, that, you know, as my Father has given to me, so I give to you. This is very much in keeping with what we desire to understand. The voluntary subjection of the will of our Savior, of His will, to our Father's will, is, I think, a tremendous lesson for us. You know, we've been talking about what it is to be a father, and on the series that we did, we talked not only about what it is to be a father and a mother, but what it is to be a child. First of all, a child of God, and then a child in your home. And you know, what application does that have? Jesus voluntarily subjected himself to the will of our Father. How that works in the Trinity is sometimes very difficult for us to understand. How that works in the home is not nearly as tough.
Mark writes this from Washington, Missouri. For those fathers with a desire to teach the faith to their children but aren't sure how to do it, use the catechism. The chief parts of the faith are presented as the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. The catechism even has a frequently asked questions section, commonly known as Christian questions with their answers, to help with answers to those tough questions kids always seem to ask. Your thoughts there, Pastor Shaddy.
Amen. It was the reason Luther wrote it. He did not write the catechism primarily as a means of pastors teaching confirmation class. He wrote it so that dads could teach their children. He wrote it to be a home tool. And that's what it's supposed to be. I strongly urge that. In fact, we're in our parish, we're looking into ways to have our kids come together and to use the catechism even with the real little ones in terms of game formats and so forth. But then while we're teaching these fundamental concepts from the catechism, we are giving the dads all kinds of information that will equip them to then take that lesson, because we're going to probably do it about every other week or so, to take that lesson home and say, okay, you know, I understand that this is what you learned in catechism class, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to spend time on that, and to give the dads sort of a running agenda for those times in between, and to use the catechism as a wonderful, it's a great tool for teaching the Word of God to children. I ran into a pastor one time from the Disciples of Christ, and he said, you know, you're a Lutheran. I said, yeah. He said, I was having trouble teaching my kids the Bible, so I went to a bookstore and came across your catechism, brought it home, and it's going a lot better. Well, it normally does. It's a wonderful tool for teaching children. I strongly encourage pastors to spend time with the dads in the catechism so that the dads can spend time with the kids.
We have time for two final and quick questions. How important is it that dads be connected to a Christ-centered, cross-focused church on a regular basis, week after week?
If you are going to be the father that your Heavenly Father is to you, you have to receive His grace. That's not debatable. He approaches us through the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. We are not established as children of God. We fathers are not established as children of God by what Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. We are established as children of God by what Jesus took up to Mount Calvary. Therefore, the importance of being in a church where you are constantly coming in contact with that saving grace is vital. Number one, because it equips and empowers you to live your life as one of God's people. Number two, because it is a constant reminder to us of how God has established us in our homes. He has not established us according to expectations and law. He has established us according to the grace that He sent to us in Jesus Christ our Savior. The more we receive that in the preaching of God's Word, the more we receive that as we interact with Jesus in worship, and we at our church have liturgical worship. It is an interaction between the bride of Christ and Christ Himself. That's a wonderful reminder to us of how our family has been established. The more that we receive the grace of God as we renew our baptismal covenant and we receive the meal that God has provided for us in Jesus Christ, we look and say, here are the blessings that God has given us, and in like manner, I want to be a blessing to my children and to bless them with these same things. I think it's absolutely essential that the focus be on the grace that we receive from Christ, because that is what we then impart to our kids.
Pastor David Shaddy is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He and a fellow pastor conduct seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. Pastor Shaddy, thank you very much again for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Todd, it was a great privilege, and I pray that God's grace will be a blessing to those who listened.
Folks, if you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues, Etc. journal, the newest edition is on its way out. It'll be mailed later this month. Or if you'd like to help support the Christ-centered, cross-focused outreach of Issues, Etc. by joining our Reformation Club, it's our monthly donor program, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. We'll send you a free copy of the Issues, Etc. journal, and you can find out more about our Issues, Etc. Reformation Club, 1-800-737-0172. Or simply write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our Heavenly Father approaches us through the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how the relationship is established. He becomes our Father. He makes Himself our Father. He makes us His children through the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ's sacrifice for us sinners makes us God's children, and now He is our Father. You know, it works exactly the same way in the Christian family, between Christian fathers and their children. We approach our children through the cross of Jesus Christ. That is how the relationship of Christian father to their children is really established. The biological relationship, you know, anyone can pull that off. An animal can pull that off. The difference between that and being a Christian father, a Christ-centered, a cross-focused father, is that we approach our children, they approach us, through the cross of Jesus Christ and His forgiveness. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117.